Thank you. Her two boys played for Man City. That's the reason why I have no option but to support Man City. And then there was me. My mother used to say, I don't know where he came from. There was one spectacular moment when I was about 8 years old. I scored this amazing try. I mean, it really was quite impressive, and I was so proud of myself until I realised something wasn't quite right. They were all looking at me, and I had to be reminded that we were playing football. Is that your little boy, Mrs. Davis? No, I've never seen him before. In 2019, when so many of my family were talking about how none of their knees were working any longer, I realised that mine still are. I have potential here to be a late starter. And so I went out running and I realised how incredibly unfit I was. I couldn't get to the bottom of our road. And so I'd heard of the couch to 5K, and I can tell you, it works. It was hard work, and I eventually worked my way up to the dizzy heights of the Surrey Half Marathon. And I still run. I do it on a Saturday morning where there's no chance that I will bump into anybody at all. But I do it at least on a Saturday morning and sometimes during the week. And I think it was a combination of this reading from Hebrews 12 and the way in which perhaps running has become a bit of a metaphor to me that I came up with the three foci that I've made central to my ministry during a vacancy in C, as we call it, a time without a diocesan bishop, during which I'm serving as acting bishop. That will be central to my ministry for the next 2 years or so. So the first focus I'm calling us all to is prayer. Here in these verses we read, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm really conscious of a context in which there is so much reason why we can lose heart at this time. We look out to the world, there are 130 armed conflicts, double what they were 15 years ago. Political stability in our own country is in meltdown. And it's easy to despair with tensions within our own church too. I've been really influenced by these words, which I read a few weeks ago. Gus Spreth, US environmental lawyer and Dean of Environmental Studies at Yale, said this: I used to think that top global environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. I thought that with 30 years of good science, we could address these problems. But I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with these, we need spiritual and cultural transformation. And we lawyers and scientists, we don't know how to do that. This world, our country, Surrey and Hampshire, need spiritual and cultural transformation. And that's only achievable, I believe, through the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying for the communities that we serve and for our mission within them. We know that every spiritual awakening has been preceded by prayer. My second focus is pastoral care. And I take some inspiration here from verse 1. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. It doesn't tell us how to run, but I've learned something about that. A few weeks ago, my 23-year-old said, Dad, can I come out running with you this evening? I thought, great. Until we'd gone about 500 yards down the road, and I was about to collapse in a heap. And I remembered my dad telling me that it's pace that kills, not distance. It was on 18th of February that Bishop Andrew handed responsibility of the diocese over to me. And from then until Easter Sunday felt like a very painful sprint. I was exhausted by the time it came to Easter Sunday. And I felt the Lord saying to me in that week afterwards, the sprint has ended, the marathon now begins. I am concerned about the well-being of our leaders and our people. I believe that work and hard work is good, but within boundaries that don't threaten well-being and balance in our lives. And so as chief shepherd for this period, I want to pledge myself to care and to create a culture of care in the diocese so that we can reach the end of the race with a sensible pace. And then my third focus is the priorities that around Bishop Andrew, identified as a bishop's leadership team, identified in January of this year. Perhaps one of the gifts that one of the last gifts that Andrew gave us was a sense that perhaps we need to be a bit more focused and less frenetic as churches. When I look back at my own race, I realise that I have been hugely distracted. I was telling, I think it was Archdeacon Catherine today, that I have in the drawer at home my first school report, which said, Paul is developing beautiful handwriting. I still have people telling me I have beautiful handwriting, although it's not very legible. Is struggling with his number work. That hasn't changed either. I could never be a church treasurer. God bless all church treasurers who are here this evening. And he is incredibly busy. That hasn't changed either. I enjoy being busy. And one of the recollections that came to me, again in the last few months, was my first spiritual director, one of my first. She was called Sister Anita. She was a nun. She was a hermit, an obedientiary, and she was a nightmare. After about 2 years, I said, Lord, I can't cope anymore with this woman. She had no emotional intelligence whatsoever. However, she taught me quite a lot. And one of the things she taught me was about use of time. I came in one night and she said, you look flustered. And I said, oh, there aren't enough hours in the day. And she said, oh, she said, he's got it wrong, has he? Who has got what wrong? The Lord, he's got it wrong. I said, I don't understand. Well, he's given you 1,440 minutes, but that's wrong. That's not enough. Young man, I was ordained by this stage. Young man, Might I suggest you reframe that? The time the Lord has given you is an abundance, not a scarcity. You might like to think about the way you're using it. Everybody is saying, I've banned the clergy from preceding their conversations with me with the words, I know you must be really busy. I have the same amount of time as everybody else here, and I have the same judgment to make about how I use it. So I'm calling us to be more focused. When I look at the church development plans in the diocese, there are two things that feature really strongly. The first is discipleship. And here I hear the words, which perhaps are a bit of an inspiration behind the name to St. Martha's College. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary. Sanctification. If I could steal the motto of another diocese, it would be Chichester's. Know, love, follow Jesus. It's the prayer of St. Richard of Chichester. And then secondly, children and young people. One of the things that when I was interviewed to be Bishop of Dorking that was big part of the interview was about children and young people. It's been my privilege and my increasing passion in that role to be an advocate for children and young people. And my biggest concern about our diocese has been the reduction in the number of children and young people within the life of our church. I'm calling us to make that a priority and to do all we can to pass the baton on to the generations beneath us. I can hear Andrew again saying, children are not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. That's something I've heard said quite often. Bishop Andrew added another line, which I've only heard him saying, and senior people are not the church of yesterday, they're the church of today too. As usual, I've gone over time because I'm Welsh and I can talk. But there's just one last thing from this passage that I want to end with. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I want to call us to joy. Actually, the most remarkable thing about being with Bishop Andrew during his dying days was the joy that was just so tangible in him. And it reminded me of, in the early part of my ministry, I was in a parish where I did a huge number of funerals in my parish in Wales. And the introduction to the funeral service that I used to use in those days said, in the presence of death, Christians have sure ground for hope and confidence, and even for joy, because our Lord Jesus Christ, who shared our human life and death, was raised triumphant and lives forevermore. Let us be a people who increase in prayer, in care for each other, in keeping the main thing, and in joy. Amen.
Amen. And Bishop, thank you. Is this working, Bill? David, you're doing great. Hey, it's working. Thank you. And thank you, Bishop, for the gift of 12 nights. It is, I can't say that you'll be busy because you'll tell me off, but it is amazing to give 12 nights. And I just thought, what about the impact on your family and stuff? And I made a note that I must avoid Louise. And I have succeeded. You've taken my line. I have succeeded until tonight. Thank you, Louise. These have been amazing. Well, the first two were, anyway. These have been amazing. For those I haven't met, my name's David. I am the mission enabler looking after evangelism and stewardship and giving and events and church growth conferences and various other things. And we are so enjoying this. It is amazing. Now, we need to do a little bit of research just to see how morale is. If you agree with the proposition that Dawkins and others are right and that by 2034 it will be possible to accommodate the entire Church of England in a taxi, could you please shout decline? And if you sense the Spirit of God is on the move, could you shout revival? That was better than Surrey Heath. So, no, it is amazing. And we have some fantastic stories coming up. Oh, a couple of other things. We love to share the message. You may have seen one or two things on social media. So, along with everything else, I've been quietly taking a few bits of film and things. If for any reason you prefer not to appear, or feel that you are so handsome that your agent will be commanding a fee which is beyond the diocesan budget, if you could let me know, that would be great. Good. Now, we are going to have a number of encouragements from different parishes. And just so that you know, if you're from those parishes, which are coming up, the first three we're going to take in order, or first four, are Burpham, East and West Clandon, Guildford All Saints, and Guildford Christchurch. So James, Burpham, and it's 60 minutes, 60 seconds. Let's see how it goes. I've got a timer. This is so exciting. And you're doing all these amazing intergenerational things and more. Encourage us.
I'm not going to talk about intergenerational tonight, but I will in coffee afterwards, if there is coffee anyway. Anyway, pub ministry. For those of you who love the pub like I do, pub ministry works. We started about a year ago, small group of us meeting Sunday nights, and it was slow burn, just four or five of us meeting together, put the worlds to rights. And then slowly this year, as we've begun the year, one or two more people, pub regulars, have said, "Oh, what are you talking about? Can I come and join?" So yes, we're talking about Jesus. They've still come and joined us, which has been brilliant. And then they've started to say, "Can I come to the breakfast you're doing in the pub as well?" Yes, you can. And then it reached a crescendo just last week when I sat there on a Wednesday night meeting a guy who's perhaps I could describe as a lapsed Muslim, who was really reaching for spiritual questions. We sat there, and within like 30 seconds, another guy outside said, "Oh, that sounds interesting." I said, "Come and join us." 3 hours later, we're praying together with this guy who just started the question with, "How can I be a better man?" Many of you have seen men in their 20s. This was another one there. They are reaching.
Amen. And there's a fantastic Capital Appeal underway. And if you want to understand intergen, then look at the video, which is so brilliant. Right, next to the Clandons, all of them, Barnaby. You also have projects underway, growth. It's amazing.
So, yes, encouraging things from the Clandons. We've had a number of new people join our church. Our church is in the last couple of years. That's been incredibly exciting. And we're about to reach the point where we're going to start building an extension to the church in West Clandon. We've been planning that for 10 years, and it's been an awful lot of work. And an awful lot. It started as a project that was going to cost, the build was going to cost 300,000. and now it's going to cost 600,000. The overall project cost just shy of a million, but one of the most encouraging things has been the generosity of the people in the village of West Clandon. One couple last week effectively said, yes, here's 30 grand. So it was just incredible. So that's really encouraging, the sense that there are so many people who are seeing the possibilities for this new building in West Clandon. So there we go. I've got 1 second left.
Well done. Thank you. Thank you, Barnaby. And, you know, people don't go around handing out £30,000 cheques, even in the Clandons, unless the church is really special. And it's an enormous tribute to you, the way that those appeals have gone. Right next to Guildford All Saints, and I was with Beverly early on today, and have my brief. I also, I'll give myself a minute. Here we are. Oh gosh, I didn't mean. Yes, I was with her earlier on, and I'm actually having the joy of working with the team there, because they're doing so many amazing things. They have a huge capital project. The I think it's the north side sank into the mud, which was quite tiresome, and they decided that they would take this opportunity to do an amazing, it's a wonderful site actually, they've got an amazing project that's going through. They've also just got a whole bunch of people, I forget the number, I think it's about seven, preparing for confirmation, in which Beverly delights particularly. And she said to me last time I was there something which really I found very moving. And I said to her today, can I share it? And she said, please do, and give people my love. And she said to me, because we're also doing a campaign to increase the revenue spending, because they want to invest in growth. They want to increase the giving. And I said, and she said to me, David, you'd better do a good job, because this is my future now. This is my livelihood. And she said, does that mean that you're here to stay? And she said, yes, and you tell everyone that tonight. Now, Guildford Christ Church. We have no vicar, but we have something even better. The warden's cheer. We have a church warden. Now then, I hear that you've been interviewing today for your new vicar, just between you and me.
Paul's looking at me.
No, I'm looking at him.
There's lots of smiling going on, but that's all I'm doing. Right, now, thank you, because lots of stuff is happening, and churches in vacancy either disappear or they take off and do amazing things, and you are in the latter category. So your minute, your microphone is here, and your microphone. Yes.
Yeah. We're really excited. We are in vacancy, which is sad, and you know, we'd lovely to have a vicar, and we will do in due course. But we're very blessed. Members of the church family are really stepping up, using their gifts, extending their gifts in all sorts of ways that they probably thought they were never capable of, including for me personally, recruiting a vicar, potentially, if we have. It's just really exciting to see that all that God is doing in our church at this time. And whereas we might have thought that numbers might have dropped off in vacancy, not having a vicar there every week, actually, they're holding steady, and we just keep praying for growth there. So, yeah, keep praying for us.
Amen. Great. We now go to our host church. And can we just say an enormous thank you to Emmanuel for hosting us in this spectacular building. And Tom was absolutely fantastic. I think he's off on a trip at the moment. David, and you have a mystery speaker as well. So do come and join us. Great. So,
rather than hearing me speak, we're going to hear a testimony from Amelia, just of how the Lord has been at work.
Okay, I can't remember what I'm supposed to say, but so we have this thing at church called Pray for Five, where we pray for, like, we try to aim to pray for five people that we want to grow closer to God every day. And so in March, one of my friends on the list, and I invited her to go to the Supernatural Youth Conference. She's not a Christian, but she came and she said that she experienced a lot of peace, and knowing what she's been going through in her life, I know that meant a lot for her. So I was very happy. And then recently, another friend of mine who's also not a Christian, I invited her to a church service and she came, which was good because I was a bit scared she'd say no. And she quite enjoyed it, and hopefully she'll come again. And yeah, I guess I just want to encourage people. Evangelizing is not as scary as you think. The worst they can say is no, and the best thing that can happen is, like, well, they can say yes to Jesus. So, yeah.
Amen! Hooray! Yeah, I go around talking to grown-ups, and they go, oh, it's very, I don't want to mention my faith, or whatever. Just listen to your young people. A third of all the people that you know would come to church if you invited them. So what are you going to do? A quarter would like to read the Bible with you. So what are you going to do? Read the Bible. And one in three would also like to be prayed for. And whenever we pray for someone and put a hand on the shoulder and say, can I pray with you now? And say, come Holy Spirit, something always happens. So two now, Guildford Holy Trinity and St. Mary's, and after which we are going to be hearing from their latest plant, St. Francis, and and Noel after that as Town Centre Chaplain. What a big empire they have there. Right, Claire, as... thank you, great. Good. Claire, and do introduce your colleague.
So I'm going to tell you, Holy Trinity, we had a faith initiative at Lent where we invited eight members of the congregation to come to speak to our youth group, and the response was incredible. They shared personal faith stories, and this provoked so many deep questions. We're getting a new youth minister who is hopefully going to work on that curiosity, and the choir is growing. We've got over 50 children now in the choir, so that's really exciting, and I'm going to hand over to Charlotte.
Scarlett, hello. We've also started a new modern inclusive worship service. We've finally got a screen into St. Mary's, which is really exciting. and we've started new home groups in the parish as well across our five congregations, drawing people together across generations, young people included especially, and that's been a great place to get to know each other better, go deeper into faith together, and I'm excited to see the future for us.
Thank you.
Really exciting. Well done. And Simon is off on a pilgrimage at the moment, isn't he? So he has a good wishes. And next we are going to... I'm so sorry. Just a moment here. I have missed out Palumi, haven't I, at St. Francis. I'm so sorry. Palumi. Stop the minute.
So I get more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so St. Francis is on a revitalization project from Guildford Emmanuel, St. Francis and St. Clair's. And two things, a prayer room and the food share. Now, we've had quite a significant number of people come through the prayer room who have given a lot of feedback of having met Christ and what God is doing in their lives. And within the prayer room in the past year, I have had the opportunity of leading at least two people to Christ. And just on Pentecost, one of them got reaffirmed in baptism by immersion, and it was amazing. So over the year, God has been increasing the numbers, and we've seen growth at St. Francis. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. We were chatting earlier, weren't we? It is fantastic what is happening there and at St. Clair's. When as churches we give people away, we found in this at Howell Hill, you give people away and more people come, and we are seeing extraordinary revitalizations. So thank you to this church for handing out Palumi and all the other people that you're placing in these two churches. Right, we are now going to, I'll call Noelle in a minute to talk about the Town Centre Partnership. And just a heads up, that after that, we'll go for Guildford St. Nicholas, Guildford St. Saviour, and Guildford Stoke Hill. Noelle, thank you for the amazing work that you do in the Town Centre. I know we've met up there, and what's encouraging you at the moment?
Guildford Town Centre Chaplaincy, we go a bit further than the Town Centre, I just thought I'd tell you that. We've come of age, we're 18 years old, woo!
Hey.
which is very exciting. Our three projects, Street Angels, Community Angels, which is a befriending project, and Volunteer Chaplains, where we're going into all kinds of places, nightclubs, venues, homes, you name it, we're doing it. Anyway, we are so grateful for the prayers of the churches. We couldn't do it without you, so thank you for that. I'm so pleased to hear that we're talking about running tonight, Bishop Paul, because we're the chosen charity of the year for the Guildford 10K Run. So if you're into running, come and have a word with me, or look on our website. You can come and run with us. Very exciting, October. We've got a new chair of trustees, James, wave. Woo! Reverend James Hansen is our new chair of trustees. We're very excited about that. And one quick story, Tim. He was one of our street angels. Not all our street angels have a faith, but each night he walks along with all these Christians, because we don't apologize for being Christians. And he went to one of our commissioning services and really felt that God was speaking to him. And from that, he went to his local Baptist church and really got stuck in there, and he's now come through to be a Baptist minister. How about that? In something like 3 years, and his wife's become a Christian, and his kids are starting going to church. It's incredible. So God is doing wonderful things here in Guildford. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, and fantastic to see the way in which you've got partnerships with so many bodies in the town. It's got the church right at the centre. So, St. Nicholas.
Yes.
Go.
Hello, my name's Lloyd. Ministry has been a huge focus for us at St. Nick's. In particular, I would like to celebrate our ministry in music. It's very close to my heart. My two-year-old daughter, Daisy, describes church as where Dad goes singing with his friends. And his friends, she knows I'm loved. She knows I'm loved. My wife and I caught her one evening on a monitor, a certain nighttime monitor, singing the Gloria in a cot, in her own unique way. And it's not often I feel my faith level up on the spot. It struck us that the ministry of music at St. Nick's must mean that singing is close to Daisy's heart. It brings her comfort. She knows she's loved. She knows God. Thank you.
Amen. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you, Father Neil, for all that you put in as area dean, and the care and the love that you show to so many churches and the encouragement. And as you'll see from the prayer sheet, it's fantastic what's happening, that so many of these young adults who are looking for faith are finding in sacrament, sign and symbol a real rootedness for which they've been searching. So really exciting things happen. As are exciting things happening at Guildford Stoke Hill. Kirsten!
Great. Three things in 60 seconds. First thing's our building project. It's a fantastic project, but we were promised money that we would from Surrey County Council, and the plug was pulled at the last minute because we weren't match funded, even though we were told originally we didn't need to match fund. £300,000 appeared. £350,000 appeared. I don't know where it came from.
No, we do. Kirsten and I just sat down and said, with no other solutions, we're going to pray it in. And it came. It was fantastic,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
So, so we match funded and the building's down now.
Yeah.
And the foundations are in. And hopefully by Christmas, we'll have the building up.
The other things to really celebrate are we've got 12 young people going to Way Camp this year, which is amazing, most of them are unchurched. We've got one who comes every Sunday to sing in our music group, which is absolutely gobsmacking, and I just wanted to share something with you, which is for all of our brothers and sisters in the deanery. Be brave, listen to the Holy Spirit, and pray for people, because we've had someone who's gone through Alpha and was kind of like, not sure about faith, and then one day they were in Aldi supermarket and someone that was just having a chat, and then she met this person again in the car park, and this person said to her, "Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Yeah, all right then." And the Holy Spirit came just at this point of need, and from all the alphas and everything, she was nearly there, but the obedience of the person from Emmanuel, who actually said, "Can I pray for you?" and prayed for her, and the Holy Spirit came, and we're seeing great transformation, and it's really exciting, isn't it? So we can't do any of this without each other, and just to say, whoever sows, whoever plants, whoever waters, it's God's good harvest. There you go.
Amen. Well done. Thank you. Don't you love that? I love the emphasis on prayer there. Do you know, Chloe Swart, who runs Alpha in the UK now, has got a PhD for a study of 600 healings in South Wales, in car parks and all over the place, where church members just went out and did the stuff. And God honours it. And in one car park, there was a lady who stuck. It's one of Anne Calvert's story. She was stuck and she couldn't get out. And the car wouldn't start. And everybody was shouting at her in a terrible way. And she was all flustered. And Anne Calvert went up to her and just said, "In the name of Jesus, start." And it did. More faith, more prayer. Right. Now we are going to go for in order, and do shout if I miss anybody out. Guildford St Saviour. We've done Stoke Hill, and this is a senior moment. Have we done St Saviour's? It is a senior moment. Graham, welcome. How could I forget St Saviour's?
So, St Saviour's, lots going on, but a couple of things to mention. The first is a few years ago, we made a decision to invest a lot of our time and energy and resources into investing in emerging generations, so 0 to 30s. And just as a bit of an evidence of that, 10 days ago, we baptised full immersion 7 young people and students at our evening service that was absolutely amazing. Some of them had come through Alpha. I know some of you were here 10 days ago as well. Absolutely amazing and really exciting. It was chaos. Loads of people came. Lots of people wanted to pray for each other. Lots of people who don't usually come to church. It was off the end of that week that was really hot, and the water in the pool was far too warm as well. But it was great. Really good. And then the second thing, very, very different, is if you've driven past St Saviour's recently, you may or may not have noticed that our clock is now working. It used to be right twice a day. Now it is right all the time. And I know it's a very, very minor thing, But actually, the number of people have said actually that it's just a tiny symbol of saying that actually the church is alive and is not closed. And I know that's a very small thing, but actually coming past and saying, oh yeah, there's something happening there. It's good. So there you go.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And with all the amazing young adult stuff and all the stuff on neurodiversity, we're going to be doing a conference, we hope, together on that as well. Right, now to... sorry?
Sinclair's.
Yes, I didn't realise I had a speaker from Sinclair's. This is completely wonderful. Welcome.
Sorry, I'm representing James and Michelle, who are in a leadership meeting.
Yes, in a meeting tonight. I said, why don't they bring the whole meeting?
They just want me instead.
Well, you...
So I'm Leanne, and I was called to be part of the leadership team at Sinclair's about 18 months ago from Emmanuel. And as for those of you who don't know our church, we're a small church in Park Barn, but God's works have been mighty. You know, we are literally being called into battle, and we face quite extreme circumstances and brokenness in people's lives. And since in the 18 months I've been there, you know, our church and God has transformed people's lives. We've seen addicts, you know, break addictions. We have seen people who've suffered abuse forgive and come to God. We've had at least 15 people be baptized, you know, and really give their lives to God. Our leadership team has nearly doubled. We started a prayer healing hub outside our church where we stop people and pray for them and they get healed on the spot. God is working miracles every single day in St. Clair's, and we're so grateful. And we're so grateful for the support as well of the parish. So, really hats off to Michelle, James, and all the leadership team who God really has empowered to go out and do wonderful things. So, I don't want to do them justice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was brilliant. No wonder they need a management team meeting tonight. All that happening. Thank you. That was really so... You know, when we step out in faith and do the stuff, it happens. It's absolutely fantastic. So I've completely thrown my confidence now. So I do believe that we are now heading for the ancient medieval church of Merrow, where we have Tim. Welcome. Who's got some new equipment?
Oh, I do, yeah. Someone once said to me that if you want old school Church of England, as in Thomas the Tank Engine, Reverend W. Orgy style old school Church of England, then you go to St. John's Merrow. That person was the area dean. we like to branch out as well. We've had full immersion baptisms in the past year. And if you've ever been to St. John's and been to worship, it's really hard to see. We've got really bad, poor sight lines until now. But last week, the Chancellor said that we could put some screens in. So what is relayed on our new live stream will be on the screens. And so wherever you are at St. John's, you'll be able to see and feel fully involved in worship. And as part of that, we're also going to update our 30-year-old sound system. And so we think that's something to celebrate. Thank you.
Amen. Wonderful. And if you're on the DAC, nothing to see there. It's all been approved. Now to a place of... Sometimes they say, the kind of highly energetic folk won't suit a country area like Purbright or Wyke. They're all retired colonels. But something has happened. It's called George Watkinson. George, come and tell us what's happening. It is absolutely amazing. I've been there the last couple of Sundays, I think. It's been amazing what's going on.
Thank you, David. Thank you, everyone. Something really exciting that's been happening at Purbright in Normandy. So two villages, 10 minutes from here. I've been there for 3 years. is the children's ministry, and we've really tried to go after the children and the families, trying to get them to come along to church, but also very much trying to go to them. One of the really big emphases we've had is going into schools ministry, and particularly three schools that are in Normandy and Purbright as well. And Joe, who has been an absolute godsend, I've invited up just to share what God has done in her life over the last few years. Joe, do you just want to tell us?
Well, I think I could say the same to you, George. You were a godsend to our villages. And it was that inspiration of George coming to the churches, having come from HTB and that kind of lively background, that really drew me back to God and back to the church. I started doing Bible in a year, and then George offered me a job for the children and families worker, which I wasn't really looking for employment at the time, but I really felt God was calling me into that role. And then I did the first timers course at the diocese, which was absolutely amazing and really gave me a passion for studying and wanting to go deeper with my theology. And so it's been a really busy time with just doing so much in the churches. Starting children's church, doing the assemblies and everything. So yeah, I just want to praise God for all the amazing things that have been happening.
Amen.
If anyone is looking, the diocese said to me, you're looking for a children's worker, good luck. You're not going to find one. There's 20 churches looking for one. We found two now, haven't we? And just pray. We're here tonight to pray, aren't we? Pray for that.
Yeah. We are. And nobody says no to George. That's the thing, you know. Great. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much. Alpha three times a year, threatening to connect groups, church on the green, people stopping their cars who've never been to church before. Absolutely incredible. A guy actually came up to me between the two services. He says, can I come to church? I said, well, better in the car. I'm going, it's very traditional. I said, well, I've got to put my robes on now. He goes, oh, do I have to wear robes as well? It's amazing. This young man, never been to church before. Now, Stoke, next Skilford, then Warpleston, and the Youth Catalyst Project, and then we're done. Right, Mark, great. Brilliant.
Thank you. So at St John's Stoke, over the last few years, we've put forward 9 people for ordained ministry, which has been fantastic. And including someone who was on their selection conference this week. They'll hear, they'll get the outcome next week. And in 3 weeks' time, our church administrator goes on to selection conference as well. And over the last couple of weeks, I've spoken to 2 19-year-olds, students in our congregation, and just had that conversation. Have you ever considered being a vicar? Have you ever thought about being a vicar? Yes, I have actually. Well, let's have a talk. So maybe in the next couple of years, those will be coming through as well. That sort of vocations and calling is just deep in the DNA and the heart of St. John Stoke.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you for your service as Assistant DDO, which has been such a blessing to so many people. Now, talk of blessings, we are now Warpleston, where I came and did your vacancy vision process and said, go for somebody really exciting, and Dawn arrived, and amazing things are happening.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Go. I didn't get your name, I'm so sorry.
So, yeah, this was really an apt word, encouragement. You encouraged us when we went into vacancy. As a parish, we've not been very good at expressing our faith and prayer. Of all things, when we weren't that strong in it. So we prayed through that vacancy, and we found God gave us Dawn.
Give us a wave, Dawn. Where are you?
So, as I say, we've been blessed with her appointment. And it's a word I used for her. My husband queried it, prayerfulness. If anyone's prayerful, Dawn is. And she's already given us all, that's why I think I'm standing up here now. She's given us confidence. We pray more, we come together more, and that's where we're headed. Gentle encouragement to talk about Jesus, which we weren't great at. So we're very, very encouraged by her. And we've got lots of things planned, lots of things on our church development plan, which we're just starting out on. But we're very, very pleased to have her.
Brilliant. You're amazing. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, they're talking about Jesus. George mentioned, actually, first two Sundays, a guy came up to me afterwards and says, "Oh, good vicar, nice sermon, but you're going to talk about Jesus every week." So now, yes, we rejoice in the Youth Catalyst project. What an amazing team, what an amazing leader. And thank you for blessing us and great worship and all else that you're doing.
Thanks. Youth Catalyst project. Okay, coming to join us. We kind of a diocesan project supporting youth ministry all over the diocese. We have a hub in Guildford at Christ College, and we're seeing awesome things happening there. Ollie, who can't be with you this evening, runs the hub in the school. We regularly have 80-plus young people coming together from churches all over Guildford to worship. He's run an Alpha course this term that's seen 22 young people on it. Two of those young people have made connections to church already. One's been baptised. One of my favourite things is that we have our team meeting there every Wednesday morning, and in break time, the young people kind of flood into the chapel space. And we just share the gospel with them. And there's 25, 30 young people coming every week, hearing about Jesus, getting prayed for, and finding faith. It's really exciting.
And one of the stories that we saw today was a young lad, I'm going over time, I don't mind. There was a young lad who came to our worship gathering, fell flat on his face in the spirit, and nobody knew what to do. So we just whisked him away with no background of faith, family didn't go to church. Lord just met him in the moment, and now he's coming every week. We came into the chapel and he'd written the whole of Psalm 23 on the board. And today was sat with two of his other mates, and I said, "You guys have got to go, you're late for your lessons." He said, "We're actually praying." So their faith is like through the roof. It's blowing us away. But this is what we're seeing, that the harvest is plentiful in these places. And I just love, well, he's now going to Millmead and his mum's coming as well. So the Lord is moving in Guildford.
Amen. Thank you. Really important to pray for these guys because, as you may be aware, the church commissioners have cut back on the funding that we were expecting. So the whole team is obviously feeling that. But secondly, engage with them because they are brilliant and they are prepared to work with your parish individually to help you establish or grow your youth ministry. And there's all the details in this piece of paper, which we're now going to hand out. We're going into prayer and three ways of doing this. If you're comfortable, just to pull chairs around and pray in a group. If you're happy, comfortable with that, that's fine. If you prefer to perhaps go over into the coffee area or outside to pray on your own, that's great. If you'd like to be in a group which is kind of led, then Bishop Paul and I will be leading two groups, one over there and I'll go over there. Yes, all the needs are there, so get yourselves into a circle and we'll get you the prayer details as quickly as we can.
Can I just add to that? We have promised a hard finish at 9 o'clock. Guildford Deanery is the biggest deanery in the diocese, and there's been quite a lot to celebrate.
Yes.
So we'll try and finish by 9. We'll have sort of 12 or 13 minutes of prayer, but my hope is take away these sheets and pray for each other.
Yes. Bill, start to form into groups, let's say 5 or 6. And you've heard amazing stuff, so you can start praying, perhaps giving thanks. And what particularly do you feel God's put on your heart to pray tonight?